And I have a message from the Lord, and he says, I am coming soon. Some of you don't think that, but it's true. And I'm telling you to get ready and to prepare. And I am here to help you. Don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. And I will uphold you in my right hand. For you are my chosen. You are the ones who are overcomers. You are the ones that are more than conquerors, super conquerors. Live like it. Speak like it. Act like it. Do it. Thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that word. I want to do that, Lord. I want to think it, act it, speak it, do it. Help each of us, Lord God, to follow your commands, to follow your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, today we are going to see how we create, and you can create what you need by speaking the word of God. You and me can do that. Amen. It's very important that we learn how to do that. And those of us that are doing it, God is always taking us up another notch and having more and more power and to a greater degree. So the word of God must be spoken to become activated. I don't mean just, you know, devil, leave me alone, please. Please, devil, leave me alone. No, that's not what we're talking about. It must be spoken with the authority and dominion and the boldness that was delegated to us as ambassadors of God in Christ Jesus. Would you ever think that Jesus would speak to a devil that way or Satan himself? No. And we are to be imitators of Christ Jesus, are we not? So Matthew 21:22 says, for all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. It doesn't say think about it. It says to ask. That is a spoken word. It must be out loud into the spirit realm to send it to do what it needs to do. Believing you shall receive. You, if you have doubt and unbelief, if you have fear when you pray, you're not going to receive. So you have to believe it happened when you said it, when you prayed it. It's not, I will see it, then I'll believe it, or I'm not healed after I see the healing. No, you are healed when you prayed it, when you spoke it, and then you receive it. If you are waiting for that manifestation, then you are not standing in faith, you are standing in doubt. But after you speak it in prayer, standing and believing, that what we were taught here at ABC is between the amen and the manifestation of seeing it with your eyes, you got to believe that it's already yours, whatever you prayed for, in Jesus' name. And that's how you receive it from the spirit realm into the earthly realm, because it's already yours the minute you asked for it. So how can you keep asking for it again and again and again, something that you already got when you asked for, just because you didn't see it? When someone says, I'm mailing you a check, is it yours when you get it in the mail and hold it and open the envelope and see the check? No. It was yours the minute the signature went on it, like the blood of Jesus was stamped on there. It was yours when it was delegated to you with your name on the check. It was yours then, not when you receive it later and can hold it. So we have to remember that. What you pray, what you ask, believing it's yours then, it's done. And now we await with glad expectations thanking the Lord with affirmations, okay? Pastor Joshua has drilled one of his favorite scriptures into us, which I'm very grateful for the repetition over and over, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Okay, Mark 11:24. And if you didn't know that answer, then you need to go back over it. So we're going to read, though, from 22 to 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, means anybody, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, that means there's no fear there. There's only faith, because there's no doubt. And shall not doubt in his heart, so faith in his heart or her, but shall believe that those things which he or she saith shall come to pass, he or she shall have whatever he or she saith. Why am I reading this in the King James? Because I think it's a more powerful version. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, what things you desire when you pray, believe, not after you pray, when it's when you pray. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught or sins against any, or being offended by anybody, or having unforgiveness, or resentment, or bothered, or angry, or annoyed, or whatever, that's what that means, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses, because that is a road blocker. Unforgiveness blocks our blessings from the road, from heaven, the spiritual road, to earth, okay? And Pastor Joshua tells us, forgiveness is a gift we give ourselves. Because unforgiveness is like wanting someone that hurt that person to have poison, but the person is connected to the poison themselves, until they release that person through forgiveness, they are still always going to be connected to that emotional pain and that doorway of being offended over and over and over. It must be cut, not just through saying, I forgive them in the name of Jesus, but in your heart, releasing any bad memories, any resentment, any trauma, any emotional pain. You have to release that, but it has to be initiated by your words. I forgive so-and-so in the name of Jesus. That's the initiation. And then from your mouth and your heart, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Now you have to make sure your heart is cleansed of all those challenges so that you have no roadblocks to receive what you pray. So verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. A, the word of God must be spoken to become activated with faith and actions. And if you don't know how, then prayerfully consider enrolling in our ABC Healing School. Number three, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. When I speak the word of God, I am assured that it's going to come back to me and have success of what I wanted fulfilled. Why? Because I'm assured that the word works. B, create what you need by speaking the word of God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. How? He spoke it into being. Let there be light. He declared it. He decreed it. He spoke it into being. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Air, you can't see, but it's there. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I want to really get that in your head and repeat that, so we know that that we are speaking is going forth and doing something. Just because you don't see the end result yet, don't give up. That's where Christians miss it. You have to wait in patience with that glad expectation. Or if someone gives up, it may nullify that prayer because they got into wavering faith instead of standing in their faith. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We know this. We hear this over and over and over. What are you doing in your life that with your tongue you may be creating negative challenges for yourself? This is not just talking about positive. It's also talking about negative. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Are you eating negative fruit or positive fruit? You know, I was talking the other day with a dear sister in the Lord, an ABC-er, and we were talking about catching ourselves saying things that we learned from the world in our childhood that seems normal, and now we have to speak what Pastor Joshua calls Christianese, you know? We have to speak God's language, and, you know, people say stuff like, go out there and sing that song and kill it and break a leg while you're at it. You know, and we're like, what? I mean, the devil is in the details. The devil would take those words, whether or not someone meant it, and he can make it come to pass in their life because it was spoken out of their mouth, and now he has permission to attack them, whether or not they thought that the meaning was what they intended, but the true meaning, he could still use that. So we have to watch those things, what we're saying, okay? And it's very important. So I would rather have life come out of my tongue and have the power over the things that I used to say and cancel them with the word of God. Number 5, Matthew 12, 34b to 36. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So that verifies what I said, that if someone says, well, I didn't mean that, it could still happen. Because it says it right there in that scripture. You're going to have to give an account of every idle word. And so, how's your marriage? If it's good, that's great. And you want it to be better. Speak a blessing over your marriage. If your marriage is rocky or not where you need it to be, don't speak the problem because you always have it. Speak the solution and then you will get that. So speak that blessing over your marriage. Speak a blessing over your kids, especially if they're not acting the way that they should be, if they're acting ungodly. So don't speak what you are observing. If he or she, if that kid is rebellious or getting drunk or missing class or being stubborn or obstinate, don't speak those things, because then when you say it, you'll say, how come you always are blah, blah, blah? You are now saying they're always going to be that way. And the devil has permission to continue making them stay that way. So if I want someone to have my prayer support and I want to see them act like God and do what the word says, then now I have to speak what the word of God says over him or her every time I see him or her even though they just did something terrible, I have to say what the Word of God says over him or her that's happening now by faith, and then we will see them change, because the Word changes them. The Word has the power to do that. But if I keep saying what I see, that's all I'm going to get. Okay? That's very, very important. Don't speak what you say over people. Speak what you know the Word of God wants them to be. So let's speak these prayers and activate them now for those of you who have children. And so I'm just going to say, my child, and as you repeat this, you could say my children if you have more than one. If you want to speak this over loved ones, and it's not specifically for your child, you can also affirm these over your loved ones. So you could say loved one instead of my child. So those of you that want to speak these blessings over your children, even if they're adults, or over loved ones, then repeat this with me, because we're going to put into action what, you know, God says that we're to do, and we're creating what we need right now by speaking the Word of God right now over them. Okay? So let's go. Speak with me and say, in the name of Jesus, my child is like Jesus and grows in God's wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. In the name of Jesus, because my child loves God, the Lord is rescuing him or her. And God protects him or her. For he or she acknowledges the name of Jesus. He or she call on God. And you, Lord, are answering him or her. And you, Holy Spirit, are with him or her in trouble. You, God, are delivering him or her and honor him or her according to Psalm 91, 14 through 15. I like to speak the scripture that I'm claiming as I'm speaking it. And it helps me to remember where it comes from. And it also reminds the devil where it comes from, too. Let's do one more. In the name of Jesus, all my children are disciples taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be their peace and undisturbed composure of my children, according to Isaiah 54:13. I am not saying they will be. I'm saying they are now in Jesus' name. I claim that and declare that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at number 6. Romans 4:17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, speaking to Abraham, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. The Amplified Classic says, speak of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. That's what we just did. That's what we did. And every time your kid does something else and screws up, don't talk about that. Speak this word and let them hear it over themselves when you speak it. This is what God is doing in your life right now in Jesus' name. And they're going to look at you weird, but that's okay. It'll come to pass. All right, so I agree with Pastora Sarah when she said that we should not call those things that are as though they are not. For instance, if someone broke their leg and kept affirming, I don't have a broken leg in the name of Jesus, I don't have a broken leg in the name of Jesus. Well, they're denying that they're needing healing, and they should be saying, my leg has been healed of being broken, challenged in the name of Jesus. Okay, so my leg has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now, I love Pastor Sarah's sermon, Framing God's Word with Your Words, and she reminded us there that we need to give voice to the Word of God in Psalm 103:20, and then angels of God are sent as ministering spirits to us, according to Hebrews 1:13 through 14. Don't refer to just angels when you're talking about them or when you are sending angels of God to cause circumstances to line up to bring the Word of God to pass. You want to really specify angels of God, because there are bad angels out there too. Now, we are heirs of salvation, according to Hebrews 1:13 through 14, and the angels minister to the heirs of salvation. That's us, you and me. And so we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 3:20 and 1 Corinthians 6:19. And God promises to watch over his word to perform it. And the word of God is like a two-edged sword. And so when we remember these things, that the Holy Spirit abides in us, then he is empowering us to speak out the word of God as we speak it. And then it comes to pass because we're obeying God to declare his word and imitating what God does. And so it will come to pass. Number 7, you can cancel negative words that do not line up to the word of God, be it a diagnosis from a doctor, a challenge that has presented itself, or any negative word or words that were spoken over you. Let's pray this prayer together. Read it with me and say it with me. In the name of Jesus, I cancel, make null and void any diagnosis or any negative words spoken over me by others, or that I spoke over myself or others knowingly or unknowingly that do not line up with the word of God. And I wash those negative words away by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. I call that the eraser prayer. Okay, so God has given dominion over to you and me. So speak the word of God over what you need. Whatever God has called you to do, be assured that he has already supplied all of your needs and resources from heaven to accomplish the goal successfully. And if it hasn't been made, decree it and make it with your words. I love doing that all the time. It happens all the time. I decree a thing that doesn't exist in the world, and I keep looking and looking and looking to find it, and finally it's there. And people are marveled there. How did you get that? I said, I created it. Well, how come you got it? I said, did you speak over it? No. I said, okay, well, I'll show you where you can go buy it now. And the other day, we were driving in a terrible storm. They called it an atmospheric river storm. And they said, stay home. Don't go out there. And there, you know, streets were turning into rivers, and there were so many floods, and we had to go do a task. So Pastor James and I, we called Apostle Joshua and Pastora Sarah, and they prayed with us, and we said, we're going to go in boldness. And we went there. It was so hard to see out of our windshield. The water was coming down in torrents. It was like so foggy and thick, soupy fog down to the car level, and we couldn't see out there. Fog lights didn't make a difference, especially with the inundation of the rain. And how do you pull over in the middle of a freeway? So we just commanded the fog to lift in the name of Jesus and this rain to stop so we could get through. And that's exactly 2 minutes later what happened. And we got to our destination and they were marveled. And that's the way that we live in this world. You know, you have to have the God kind of faith to push back hurricanes like God had me do once. You got to have the God kind of faith to make sure that things are operating when people tell you it's no longer operational. Well, our printer wasn't supposed to be working any longer, hooked up to our computer. And today, it printed this sheet, our backup. There you go. Praise the Lord. Call those things that be not as though they were, and it happens, right? In Jesus' name. Okay. All right. So, praise you, Jesus. We glorify you. So, it's fun when you practice speaking the Word of God and seeing what God does through you. Very important to know that you are the person that God wants to use to create change in your life. Okay? So, what are you going to do about it if you're looking at lack? Speak something that God would say over your challenge that his promises cover. And that's your solution. Speak the promises of God. If you don't know what it is, they call it a concordance. Look up that word. You know, if you have need of finances, look up money, finances, whatever. Okay, and speak the scriptures over yourself, or provision. He's a provider. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:21-23 says, for all things are yours. All things are whose? Yours and mine. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all of that is yours and mine. And you are Christ's and Christ is God's. So what does that mean? It means that whatever you have need of, ask God for it. He will transfer it into your hands so that you can finish the mark of your high calling. God has already set up a heavenly bank account with you with your name on it, but are you making regular withdrawals from it as co-heirs with Christ Jesus? You're a son or daughter of the Most High King. You're an ambassador of Christ Jesus, and he wants you to fulfill your God-given destiny to take dominion and have authority over all the earth and over above the earth and under the earth. And what are you doing about it? Use your skills that God has given you. Practice it. Definition of dominion, Webster's 1828 dictionary. The power to direct, control, use, and dispose of at pleasure. In other words, dominion is power to direct at your own discretion. It's not God doing it, it's you doing it as the Holy Spirit shows you how. You speaking it. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him we were all, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things were created by him and for him. You have power over everything that Jesus has power over. Job 22:28, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. Once you declare it, you get the light. You don't know where you're going until you declare it. You're waiting for the light to shine and tell you where to go. No, the Word of God makes the way, and then God will show you. Make the way by declaring that thing, and it will only be established when you speak it. Then the light of God will shine, and then he will show you the path, how to complete the establishing of it, because it has been established, and how you walk that out. Job 22:28 KJV version. That was a New King James version I just said. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established. Okay? So, what shall be established? What? What you decree or what you declare shall be established. But it must be already decreed and already declared in order to be established. You have to speak it. It's the spoken word. In other words, when you speak a thing to be established, it shall come into existence. It will be settled or confirmed. Oxford Dictionary of Declare means to say something in an emphatic manner. It's not, please, devil, leave me alone. Devil, leave me alone in Jesus' name. The word of God, including miracles, that is not spoken, is not legal on this earth. It cannot happen unless you speak it. In other words, you must declare it, you must decree it, you must speak it. Why is it illegal? Because God gave dominion to you and me to do our work in the spirit realm and bring it down to the earthly realm. See it, speak it, settle it, affirm it. And God said it, I believe it, so it's settled, it's done in Jesus' name. That means declare it and establish it on this earth as a declarer and an affirmer. Are you a declarer and an affirmer? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Oxford definition of proclaim means declare something one considers important with an emphasis publicly. You speak it out so everyone knows that you believe this and declare it, and it shall come to pass. Of God's word, not just my word, it's God's word that comes to pass. Order, the Oxford definition of affirm, state as a fact and assert strongly and publicly. So I don't care what the devil is throwing at you, those lying symptoms, we affirm the facts of the word of God, and that's why we do affirmations. Anybody that says affirmations don't work, then you go to them and say, oh, well, how many victories do you have? And how many times have you had failures? Well, maybe you should affirm the word of God over your life. Because I know in my life, I've had many victories. And I don't care what they say, affirmations work. Only kings declare and speak a thing into being, speak it into being in faith. People who keep their mouths shut are slaves to fear. You do not have a spirit of fear. You are royalty. You are son and daughter of the Most High King. Of whom shall you be afraid if God is with you? Romans 5:17, Amplified Classic says, reign in life by one Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. And we reign to demonstrate the power of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. And we are his ambassadors to do as he is sending us to do on his behalf with the authority he gave us and the dominion. Psalm 107, 1-3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands. So you must speak the word of God and your miracle will occur. Now, the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5:28, the Amplified says, for she kept saying over and over and over, that sounds like an affirmation to me. If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Maybe they thought she was nuts. She didn't care. She kept speaking it. Why? Because her faith was there. And the more she affirmed it, the more glad expectation she had that she knew it was going to happen. And so faith comes by hearing and hearing. She was growing in her own faith. And so she got what she said. How did she know she could even get close enough to Jesus? Because she said it, the word made it happen. What in your life is happening that you say things are not going well? Speak the word, not the problem. Jairus' daughter died. I mean, she was like dead. And then they were grieving. In Mark 5:39, when he, Jesus, came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." He had to speak the solution, not the problem. Mark 1:40-42. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing," speaking to Jesus, "you can make me clean." Then Jesus moved with compassion. He didn't move with sympathy. He moved with love. Stretched out his hand and touched him, and Jesus said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." It was a declaration. Be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he didn't use PPE either. The leper acknowledged that Jesus had the power and ability to do a miracle, but he was asking Jesus, "Are you willing to heal me?" That man went already in faith, knowing he had the power. He went in faith. Jesus spoke to the leper, and when he said, "I am willing," that leper inside received. He, right there. And when Jesus said, "Be cleansed," he received it. He didn't feel unworthy. He didn't feel like guilty because of his past sins. He went because when Jesus said cleansed, I believe he meant cleansed of sins also, because we can't receive if sin blocks it. Cleansed of sins and cleansed of leprosy. We need to come in prayer cleansed. We need to believe and we need to live a cleansed life. Proverbs 18:4 Message version. Many words rush along like rivers in flood, but deep wisdom flows up from the artesian springs. Lord God, may your deep wisdom flow up from us, from artesian springs of rivers of living water, so that we could live our lives during these end times with God's wisdom leading us and guiding us to speak God's word and declare it over what we need, and it shall come to pass in Jesus' name. And if it is doesn't exist, God will make it for us. In Jesus' name. Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine. NIV version. A cheerful heart is good medicine. If you have an ailment, a diagnosis, some kind of challenge in your body, and you feel discouraged, you feel challenged to be discouraged or depressed or hopeless, well, that's like it says, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Or if there's condemnation, get your joy back. How? Remember, the word of God is true, and no matter how long it takes, he will do it for you. And so get back that cheerful heart, and then the joy of the Lord will strengthen you, and then you repent of being disappointed, discouraged, hopeless, depressed, or have any condemnation, and be cleansed of that, and then you will not have any roadblocks. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation, and all things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Let's pass away the old way of speaking and look at our mouths and words and see if we still need to improve. I'm still improving a lot in my words and in my Mark 11:24. It is my lifestyle. It is what I have committed to do for all these years. I was saved when I was 19 years old, and I'm going to be in a few days 64 years old. I've checked with my husband because, you know, my mind just keeps saying, "You're 40. I feel like 40. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're renewing our minds and becoming more and more like Jesus, because we're that new creation already. Realize who you are in Christ Jesus. The enemy wants to remind you of your past failures. The enemy is in the past and tries to keep people in the past. You need to remind the enemy of his future, of being put back under your feet, and now it's the present. Get under my feet, devil, in the name of Jesus. And every challenge that is coming against me, you're a lie of the devil, and I'm resisting you because I'm submitted to God. Now you flee from me in Jesus' name. Psalm 91, 5 through 11, you shall not be afraid, not be afraid. Psalm 91, 5 through 11, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste in noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward or punishment of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. No what? No evil. Some evil? A little evil? No. No evil will befall you, nor shall any plague, no plague, no COVID, no RSV, no whatever, contagious diseases, no challenges will come near you, for he shall give his angels charge over you as heirs of salvation to keep you in all your ways. You got to believe what you pray when you pray it. Satan is using spiritual forces to win. He doesn't put sickness and problems on those that follow him. Psalm 73, 3 through 5 shows us that. For the psalmist was saying, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm, and they are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Why? The devil doesn't harass his own wicked people. He wants them to continue doing his wickedness. He harasses the Christians because we're at war. It's a spiritual warfare. But who is the victor? Jesus, who overcomes everything and has already overcome everything. Jesus, who are you? A co-heir in Christ Jesus, an overcomer too. Christians have been given God's authority and dominion, can conquer Satan and his spiritual forces, so who cares if he's harassing us? Satan, stop harassing me in the name of Jesus. Speak to that demon, devil, and evil spirit. God has given dominion to you, so speak the word of God with authority and power. Genesis 1, 26 to 28, Amplified Classic, and God said, let us, meaning the Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image and our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and tame the beasts. That means you shouldn't be afraid of anything. And over all the earth, don't be afraid of anything on the earth. And over everything that creeps upon the earth, especially those creepy, weirdo people, don't be afraid of them either. So God created man in his own image, and in the image and likeness of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Are you fruitful enough to multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it right now? Well, if you're not, then we need to get practicing to do more. Dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. If you have money coming to you, the devil will try to hold it up. Don't call on God to do something about it. You are supposed to do something about it. You speak to the devil. So speak it into being and speak these things into being with me. Repeat after me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Devil. Get your hands off my money.
Get your hands off my money.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Devil.
Those of you that have kids say this, or spiritual kids, get your hands off my kids.
Get your hands off my kids.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Devil.
Devil.
Get your hands off my body.
Get your hands off my body.
My mind.
My mind.
And my health.
And my health.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Devil.
Devil,
get your hands,
out of my home,
and my life.
Out of my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Woo! I agree with all of you in Jesus' name, all these prayers. Every time the devil steals from you, you demand the thief to repay sevenfold. Then the devil will consider that you are too expensive to deal with, and he'll leave you alone and go bug somebody else. So say this with me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Devil.
Devil.
Repay sevenfold.
Repay sevenfold.
Everything you've stolen from me.
Everything
you've stolen. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Woo! Did you feel that?
Yes.
The faith level shifted to higher. Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, I'm repeating this to remind you, whoever says to this mountain of whatever, mountain of debt challenges, mountain of medical diagnosis challenges, mountain of challenges of strife in your family, mountain of challenges with your business, with your career, with whatever. We're going to speak to the mountain more. Be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his or her heart, but believes that those things that he or she says will be done. You will have whatever you say when you speak the results, not the problem. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bow down to the golden idol and was sentenced to be burned in the fiery furnace. Why did they say fiery furnace? Furnaces have fire. You ever thought about that? The fiery furnace. Well, some translations say that. Because it was so hot that the guys that were making the fire and putting in the wood or the whatever, they were killed because the heat was so hot. That's how hot it was. Just the guys on the outside were killed. They're putting these three guys in it, you know? And so they declared that our God would deliver them, but they didn't know how. It's not your job to know how God's going to deliver you. It's not your job to try to figure it out. It's your job to declare the word and let him do it. Let the word do it. Let the angels of God minister and do it on your behalf. Daniel 3:17, they said, if that is the case, they're speaking to the king. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Did God deliver them? Yes. A king speaks forth declarations. The king declared that they be put in the fiery furnace. A godly king that you and I are now, with God's authority and dominion, we speak forth the word of God with declarations and boldness, which causes the circumstances to line up and come into existence that which we had spoken. Daniel 17:37. Moreover, David, you know, he went to Saul and he said, basically a summary version, hey, all your guys are scared. This is Karen's summary version, Pastor Karen's version. Your guys are scared. And I'll go up and face Goliath. And he's like, what? What do you mean? And he said, well, he told him the whole story about how he practiced to kill these animals. And so he knows that God was with him then. And so he said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He was assured. No doubt. No fear. Fearless. Overcomers and kings are fearless. Let's go to verses 43 and 47 to 47 of Daniel 17. Daniel chapter 17, verse 43 to 47. So the Philistine, now he comes up, David goes up, and he sees Goliath, this big old giant. I mean, he was like bigger than any man I think there's ever been on the face of this earth. This guy was big. So here's puny David. He's looking up at him. Remember, he was even punier, smaller than his brothers, because when Samuel went to anoint the next king, you know, the dad brought all these sons that were handsome and strong and built and in the army and whatever and fast fighting and whatever. And he's like, nope, none of these dudes. Do you have any more sons? Yeah, just the little runt that's taking care of the sheep. You know, this is Pastor Karen's version. Why? Because He couldn't even put on Saul's armor. He was so small. Saul said, let me give you my armor. He thought it was an honor to give this guy the king's armor. Oh, it was so heavy and so big. You cannot do something someone else is doing. You got to do what God tells you to do, who you are with your skills, your gifts, and only you can do them because God created you that way. So don't try to be anybody else. Be yourself, and God's going to use you in a greater way because you are an affirmer. You are a declarer, and you're a giant killer in Jesus' name. Be who God has called you to be with the tools that God has given you, whatever those gifts are. But make sure it's the word of God, and you go in faith. So then David comes up to the Philistines, so he's punier. He's the puniest guy of the whole Hebrew army, and probably Goliath was saying, what? Is this a trick? And so the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? He didn't come in armor and a helmet and a sword like normal fighting. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. That's a lot of trash talking. And then David said to the Philistine, so he's going to trash talk him back, but he's, you know, instead of doing the trash talking, the negative talking, he did the God talking with the positive. You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. This is what you need to say to the devil every time he challenges you and everything that you're seeing that looks like a mountain. But I come to you, devil, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. This day, not tomorrow, not soon. Today, he was saying it. And then David said, I will strike you and take you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp to the Philistine, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. He countered him. See, he nullified that curse because he knew, according to Proverbs 26:2, an undeserved curse has no effect. And his intended victim will be no more harmed by it than a sparrow or a swallow flying through the sky, according to the Living Bible. So he knew that would not harm him, so he said it back to him because he's now speaking it with faith, and he knows that God is with him and the angels of God are doing what he's speaking. And then remember, what someone sees, they will reap, and so he knows he's going to reap those terrible things he had said. And then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So what is the weapon of your warfare? The word of God, a two-edged sword. Speak it. It will destroy the enemies in your life. God's word will never come back void. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Out of my mouth, not out of my mind when you think it. It has to come out of your mouth by speaking it into the spirit realm. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper and be successful in the thing for which I sent it, not what God sent it. Too many people are relying on God's grace and waiting for him to do something that God delegated to them. And it is a partnership. It is a covenant. God does his part. You do your part. And if you're not doing your part, it's not going to happen. Ephesians 5:1-2, Amplified Classic. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children, adult children, imitating their father. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another. So no strife, no blockages. As Christ loved us, so love, when you're in true love, you're in forgiveness. And therefore, you will receive everything you need. And gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. Speak the word of God in any impossible situation. Speak to your bank account. Repeat this with me. Speak it into being and say this. In the name of Jesus, my bank account has surplus. Because I have given my tithes and offerings. So according to Luke 6, verse 38, gifts will be given to me. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of my robe and used as a bag? For with the measure I deal out, with the measure I use, when I confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to me now. Amen. Now speak into being and say this. In the name of Jesus, I have no debt, because I owe no one anything except to love one another according to Romans 13:8. And my God has already supplied all of my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. So I call all debt paid off in Jesus' name. Now speak this into being and say, in the name of Jesus, according to Psalm 34, 9 through 10, because I seek you, Lord, I shall not lack any good thing. For there is no lack and no want for me, because I fear the Lord, which means I respect you. And Lord, I seek you, and I love you. God, I serve you with all my heart, and I shall always have what I need provided by you now. In Jesus' name, amen. When you spoke that all these words into being, and every time you pray and affirm, you have started that spiritual law into motion. You believe it, and it has already come to pass when you spoke it, as soon as you said it, because you believed it. Things that were held up, it needs to come to us now. So let's say that. Speak it into being. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Things that were held up, my blessings that were held up, come to me right now. An abundance of money, come to me right now. In the name of Jesus. Okay, now, if someone is not believing the word of God that I'm speaking right now, then you need to get God to give you some super in your natural, because it is supernatural, God's work, because it does work. And I pray right now that God does that and shows you that this is a true word of God. Question, what is more powerful, a word or a billionaire? A word. Because he couldn't have become a billionaire unless it was spoken by somebody. For a miracle to be manifested on this earth, it must be spoken. God cannot do it unless somebody on this earth prays, because he delegated his authority and dominion to us. Once a prophecy has been declared, it will come to pass regardless of the circumstances. God is waiting on you to speak the word of God over your life in a more powerful way. So create what you need by speaking the word of God with faith, authority, and dominion. In Jesus' name, I declare that over you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastora Karen. That was very powerful. The word of God, yes, spoken out of our mouths, yes, with power and authority and dominion, yes, yes, and yes. So it is possible to speak the word of God in a whisper, but why would you want to, unless you're in the middle of the store or the bank or someplace else where you're doing some prayers and affirmations? You might want to keep it rather soft then. But when you're at home or on your property or in a situation, feel free to speak forth. Normal voice or even loud, shouting it from the rooftops. So, we have the Word of God, which is so wonderful. God's promises that He watches over His Word to perform it. And so, why would we not want to be speaking forth the Word of God over every one of our situations? Hallelujah. And so, now let's speak the Word of God over communion, this wonderful privilege that the Lord has given us to be able to partake of the body and the blood of our Jesus. So let's confess our sins and then we shall proceed. We thank you, Father, for your word that tells us that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He said, take this, eat it. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Your body was about to be broken, torn apart, paying the price for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain, and the benefits of that. Paying the price for it meant that when symptoms come to us, we can just say, bye, return to sender. Not for us. Our Jesus has paid the price, and we walk in the benefit of the stripes that Jesus took on his body. All of the sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain is paid for, so I walk in healing and health and wellness, restoration and rejuvenation. That is my lot. That's what Jesus paid for me to receive, for me to have. And through this wonderful covenant, it's a great exchange is the thought I think of it, how I perceive it. Because Jesus paid all the bad part and we get all the good part. So by partaking of his broken body into our bodies then receive healing and wholeness. From our Jesus, we receive what he paid for through this faith action plan. Our minds cannot explain it, but it doesn't matter. The Word of God says it, and we say it, and we believe it, and so it is. So let's receive now together the broken body of Jesus and expect with great expectations manifestations of healing in any and all areas of your body that need that assistance from the Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the word goes on to say, after the supper on that same night, Jesus took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. The new way, no longer annual sacrifice. Jesus was the once for all sacrifice set from before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You paid the price for every sin, for all the wages of sin. You sealed the old covenant with your blood. You established the new, better, and everlasting covenant with your blood, both full of promises that are ours for the taking. We thank you, Lord. You have provided for us everything that we would ever need. So now it's up to us to receive what belongs to us. And we do that through the words of our mouths, agreeing with the Word of God. We speak it over ourselves, over our family, over our loved ones. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear the Word. And the angels hear the Word of God being spoken, Psalm 103:20. They hear the word of God being spoken, and they go forth to carry out God's word and the promises of God's word into fulfillment in our lives. We give you glory and praise as we remember and we rejoice, Jesus. Thank you so much.